Could we sing as our opening hymn, number 462. It's good to see everyone that's come along this evening. You're very welcome to the gospel meeting tonight. 462, it is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a soul like me. And yet I know that it is true. This little line was what was on my mind. I know that it is true. He chose a poor and humble lot. He and wept and toiled and mourned and died for love of those who loved him not. If it's convenient, we'll stand to sing, please. 462.
It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a soul like me. And yet I know that it is true, He chose a poor and humble lot, and wept and toiled and mourned and died for love of those who I cannot tell why he could love a child so weak and full of sin. His love must be most wonderful.
Now we'll just open the meeting with a word of prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father, we draw near to Thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank Thee for these wonderful words that we have been singing together. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be. We thank Thee that Thou dost send Thy Son to be the Saviour of the world, and we thank Thee that He came to a poor and humble lot, and we thank Thee that He was holy, spotless, sinless, the Son of God and incarnate, and we thank Thee that He came to be the Saviour of sinners. Father, we thank Thee for His perfect life, and we thank Thee for all the mighty deeds that He performed, showing that He was indeed the Son of God, that He was deity, that He was God manifest in flesh, And we thank thee for the many who experienced his healing touch. We thank thee for all who heard his wonderful words of love and of salvation. And we just thank thee, Father, that he was willing to go to the place of death, the place of sacrifice, that cross outside the city wall. And we thank thee that there Christ died for our sins. We thank thee that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And we thank thee that our Savior is alive this evening and is ascended to thine own right hand. He is indeed an exalted and a mighty and powerful Savior. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Father, we just pray for help this evening in our meeting to once again present him to our audience here this evening. We pray that as we tell others of Christ and his love, we pray that it would touch a chord in all our hearts this evening, especially dear ones that are not yet saved. And we pray for the boys and girls here this evening. We pray for older friends as well. Any who as yet have not trusted Christ, we pray that this would be the night when they would come to that realization in their hearts that all is not well for eternity. And we do pray, Father, that they would trust the Savior and come to know him, come into that saving relationship through faith in him. And we thank thee for all that will flow out from that as we will look again in thy word. And we just pray for help, Father, for the preaching of the gospel, not only here but elsewhere as well. We thank thee that thou art still calling out of the nations a people for thy name, and that people all over this world are still being saved and coming to know the Savior. And we just pray that there would be a real urgency about this matter tonight before the day of salvation will end. And so we look to thee now, Father, for thy help and for thy blessing in our Savior's precious name. Amen.
I'd like to give everybody a very warm welcome tonight to those that are in the hall and those that are online. We thank you for taking the time to be here and to listen to the gospel. And we're also very glad to see all the boys and girls from the Sunday school. Maybe it's just girls tonight, actually. I don't know what's happened to all the boys. But anyway, we're glad to see you here this evening. And we trust that each will be blessed as they listen to the word of God preached this evening. And we'll also give a very warm welcome to our brother David Neal from the Bloomfield Assembly, no stranger to us. We're glad to have him along tonight to preach the gospel, and we trust that he will know God's help as he does just that. Now, just a few announcements for the hall for the week that we've entered, and we make them in the will of the Lord. On Thursday at 7:30 is our annual assembly report meeting. So you just note the time, 7:30. And the next Lord's Day, breaking of bread at 11, the Sunday school and Bible class at 3. And I should say the next Sunday is our Easter Sunday school, and we're hoping to have our brother Andrew Mullen along to speak on that occasion to the boys and girls. And then the prayer meeting at 6:30 and the gospel at 7, and we expect our brother Adrian Moore from the Glengormley Assembly next Lord's Day. And these meetings are all announced subject to the will of the Lord, and we just hand over the meeting now to our brother David.
Thank you, Brian. I just want to turn to the Word of God now, and if you have a Bible with you, turn to the first epistle of Timothy, to Timothy, first epistle of Paul to Timothy, and chapter 1. I've been encouraged to read this verse 15. I see it's just on my left here, your right up on the wall, which is also encouraging and certainly was made reference to in the prayer meeting this evening as well. So that's wonderful. And we'll just read it now. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful or a true saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul adds, of whom I am chief. So there's 9 words there in that verse, and we know that God will bless this verse to us this evening, along with other scriptures that we may make reference to. There's 9 words here that I would like us all to remember in the meeting this evening, and for those that are with us online too. Just 9 words, not too hard to remember. And if it was a children's meeting, I guess we would have the children go over them and repeat them. But if you could remember them, I will make continual reference to them this evening. And they're these words in the middle of the verse. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not too hard to remember, sure it's not. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Wonderful, wonderful words, and so concise and so full of meaning. When I was at school in English classes, they used to teach something called précis. Comes from a French word, I think. It means precise or concise or a summary. And it was where you took a passage of text and you had to read down through it, and we had to do this on our exams, and you had to shorten it down to as few words as possible and make it a summary without losing any of the meaning of the text. They had to cover all of the key points of the text, and it had to be in as few words as possible. And that's what this verse is. And there are many other verses in the Bible like it, like John 3 and 16 as well. We call that one sometimes the gospel in a nutshell. And this one here is a very precise and concise piece of text that conveys to us an awful lot about the Lord Jesus Christ and about why he came into this world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it's just 9 words, but it tells us an awful lot. And just before those 9 words, the Apostle Paul, he says to us, this is a faithful saying. Now you can see that up on the wall there. This is a faithful or a true, honest saying. You know, that's something, isn't it, in the world that we live in today? Because there's not really very much that is true at all. In fact, we just live in a world now that's full of deceit and lies. And big word, misinformation. It's not true information. And we're bombarded every day with scams and phone calls, and we don't know who's speaking to us and what they're trying to con us into. Emails, texts, WhatsApp, it just comes continually, 24 hours a day from all over the place, and we just don't know who or what to believe. And we're told to treat everything and everybody as suspicious. That's a terrible state of affairs, isn't it? That's the way this world has got. And it's shocking. It really is. And I read that about 45% of adults now believe that they encounter fake news each day. Fake news. With the enormous uptake in social media and the ability of artificial intelligence to put stuff out on a global basis, and it's not even true. Not a word of it. It's not true.
So what are we to believe? Well, we can believe God's word. Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? We can believe the words in this book, the Holy Bible, because they come from a God who cannot lie. Everything he says to us through his word is 100% absolutely true. Now I wonder, could you tell me, does everything your best friend say to you, is it absolutely true? Can you depend on them to tell you the truth all the time? You see, because of our characters, we tend towards saying things that are untrue. Sometimes we call them wee white lies, but they're just lies all the same. They're not true. And, you know, this is the wonderful thing about God and his holiness, that we can rely on this saying that we're talking about this evening. It's a faithful saying. It's true. And it's absolutely reliable. And it's worthy of all acceptation. That just means everybody can accept it. Because it's true, you can accept it. And because it's not fake news, you can stand on it. It's firm. It's 100% true. And it needs to be accepted by everyone. God wants us to accept it. He wants everybody to believe it, to accept it, to trust it. And you can be assured tonight that you can stand on it with all your weight and believe it and accept what the message says and get the benefit and the blessings from that. So let me ask you this evening about the person who's in this verse, the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Do you know him tonight? Have you trusted him as your Savior? That's what this message is all about. That you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and trust him as your own and personal Savior. So let's get into it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We were singing this evening, it is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be, that the Lord Jesus Christ should come into the world to save sinners. And, you know, his coming was prophesied many, many years ago by a prophet called Micah, way back in the Old Testament. And this is what he said. Now, I'll explain this, don't worry. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, that's a wee town called Bethlehem, which you will know about from Christmas time and carols and so on. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, that just means it's a very small place in the land of Judah, out of thee shall he come forth, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So that means this, that the one who came to Bethlehem all those years ago, he came from everlasting. He came from heaven. He came from eternity. Didn't come out of this world. He came from where God lives, in the realms of eternity, where there's no time. And he became what we call incarnate. In other words, he came down into the world and he took a body. And he became flesh. He became a little child. He was born as a little baby at Bethlehem. Don't we sing at Christmas time, he came down from earth, from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And his shelter was a stable and his cradle was a stall. With the poor and meek and lowly lived on earth our Saviour holy. You know, John's Gospel in chapter 1 reminds us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus existed before he came into this world. And he referred to himself on occasions as the I Am. The I Am. Indeed, one time when he said those words, a lot of people just fell backwards because of the power of his words. He is the great I Am of eternity. And yet he chose to come down into this world. Christ Jesus came into the world. He came into the world. Why did he come? It really is breathtaking when we think of it. Brother Gordon was just thinking about it in his prayer this evening, that he should choose to come into this world. Why? Why would he come from the majesty and the glory and the realms of heaven above into this poor world of ours? And to come to such lowly, poor circumstances. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You, me, sinners. He came for us. Such was his love for you and for me. He came all the way from heaven down to the earth. We sing sometimes, down from the glory the Saviour came, down to the world of sin and shame, gazing in wonder, I there exclaim, Jesus, down to the cross and the death of shame. Sorry, I'm quoting it wrong. Down to the cross and the death of shame, gazing in wonder, I there exclaim, Jesus died for me. And in order to save sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to die. He had to die. Now, we all have to die because of sin. Because whenever the first man sinned, he brought death into the world. And he brought sin into the world. And that's why there's so many lies told today, and so much deceit and so much evil in the world. And the Lord Jesus came to deal with sin. The Bible says that he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You see, sin is a big problem for you and for me. God hates sin. Because God is so holy, he hates sin. And God will punish sin. And I want to speak lovingly and sincerely this evening that if you don't have your sins forgiven, God will punish you. You will experience God's judgment. And in eternity, because that's where we're all heading, this life isn't the end. When our life finishes, our souls will go to eternity, because we are eternal beings and we will exist forever. And the Bible makes it very clear to us that we will be in eternity in one of two places. One of two places. And this is really important. And this is what makes salvation so urgent. and so important. The Bible tells us very clearly that if our sins are forgiven, we will dwell with Christ in heaven. But because heaven is God's home and is such a holy place, sin cannot enter heaven. So if your sins are not forgiven here on earth during your lifetime, you cannot be in heaven. God will not allow it. There's no entry to heaven for you or for me. Thank God, as a lad of 16 years old, my sins were forgiven when I trusted the Savior. I came to know him as mine. Now, the other place where God will bring judgment upon us if our sins are not forgiven is called hell. And it's a terrible place. It's a place of torment, a place of darkness, a place that's just unbearable. It would be awful to end up there. I used to work with a lady, and we had various conversations about these matters. And one day we were coming back to the office from a meeting, and in the car, just out of the blue, she says to me, I was known as Davy in work, and she says, Davy, do you believe in hell? Out of the blue. I said, well, that's a good question. I says, yes. I spoke very softly because this is a very solemn and serious thing. I said, yes, I do. I called her by name. Yes, I believe in hell. She says, well, I could never believe in hell because I could never believe that a God of love would send people there. Well, I said to her very kindly, very softly, that whether she believed there was a hell or not didn't alter the fact that there was a hell, and that the Lord Jesus in the Bible, in the Gospels, warned about hell and the awful possibility that people could end up there if they don't have their sins forgiven. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, actually gives us a little glimpse into hell, where a man went because he had not had his sins forgiven. That lady, she didn't talk to me an awful lot about it after that. And I thought she'd close me off. But after I retired, one evening I was sitting at home and the phone rang. And it was her. And I said, hello, how are you? Are you keeping well? And she says, Davy, I have something to tell you. What would that be now? She says, I found the Lord. I'm saved. Well, you could knock me over with a feller. And I said, well, tell me what happened. So she told me all about it. She says, you know, I never forgot the conversation we had in the car that day. And she says, I discovered that I was going to hell. And that I needed to have my sins forgiven. And she says, I trusted the Savior. Isn't that wonderful? See, this is a very serious thing. So it is. Very serious thing. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to save us. And he paid the price for our sins. When he went to the cross at Calvary and was taken by cruel hands and nailed to that rugged tree, he was dying for you and for me. The Bible says the Son of God loved us and he gave himself for us. He died for us. He took the punishment that our sins deserved. He bore the punishment in his own body on the tree, on the cross. And God brought all that judgment for sin and placed it upon his holy Son. Nobody else could have done this work. Nobody else could have died the death that he died, because his death was a sacrifice to God on account of sin. The Bible puts it very, very simply and very, very clearly. Christ died for our sins. And it says, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And then he was seen of above 500 people at once. And then he ascended up into heaven once again, and he's exalted to the right hand of the throne of God. And he's coming back again. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to Bethlehem's manger. The one who came to save sinners. That work is finished. That's complete. And what God wants you to do now is to trust his Son for the forgiveness of your sins. It's important that you do that very soon, because as I said, the Lord Jesus is coming back again. And the way things are in this world, he could come back at any time, at any moment. And he's coming back to take all the people who have trusted him out of this world and take them to be in heaven with himself. All the believers, the Christians who have died, they will come out of the graves. They'll be raptured with everyone who's still alive who has trusted the Savior. It could happen right now. Before the clock reaches 7:25. And I just want to ask you this evening, are you ready? The man who wrote this verse, he said, of whom I am chief. He thought he was the chief of sinners because he was an awful bad man. And he had persecuted Christians and he'd put them in jail and he'd killed them and he'd injured them. But one day on the Damascus road, he saw a great light and he heard the voice of God from heaven. And the man who was Saul of Tarsus, he was saved on the dusty roadway to Damascus. And his life was turned around and he found the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he trusted him and he lived to prove it. And he wrote all these wonderful words. Can you trust the Lord Jesus tonight? Sometimes we sing, Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven or on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners, therefore, Lord, for me. Just trust him. Just take him to be your Savior and know your soul saved and all well. For eternity, shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for this little verse that we have learned so much from this evening, that is such a faithful and a true saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We thank thee that he came, and we thank thee that he died for our sins, and thank thee that he rose again and is seated at thine own right hand. Those of us that are saved this evening, we look forward to seeing him face to face with great anticipation. But we just pray this evening for young people and older friends alike who have not yet trusted him for the forgiveness of their sins as well. We look to thee to bless thy word, Father, and pray for salvation this evening and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying we ask it in his name. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. We sing a verse of a hymn in closing. Number 350. Again, the blessed gospel I have heard, that word divine and true. And God again has spoken to my soul. Now, what shall I do? Maybe these would be your words this evening. I come to thee, my God. I do thy love believe. I do accept thy gift of life and peace. I do thy Son receive. We'll just sing the first verse in the chorus.
350 again, we'll stand to sing, please.
Again, the blessed gospel of